Now let's continue in Romans, the 7th chapter, verse 13. So now Paul begins to explain the battle within him, because when we are baptized and receive the Holy Spirit of God, the law of sin and death, as we will see, is not removed from us, but we are given the power of the Spirit of God to overcome it, to recognize sin and lust when it begins in the mind, so then we can repent when that starts to occur. Okay? Verse 13. Now then, did that which is good become death to me? May it never be. But sin, in order that it might truly be exposed as sin in me, within me, by that which is good, the laws of God, the Spirit of God, the power of God, the good from God, to show us sin. See? Isn't it that the graciousness of God or the goodness of God leads us to repentance? Yes. Now you see how all of these verses interact and intertwine and are part of Romans, the 7th chapter. If you just pick up the Bible and start reading Romans 7, you won't have a clue as to what it's talking about. In reality, the difference between the letter of the law and the spirit of the law. Okay? But sin, in order that it might truly be exposed as sin within me, by that which is good, was working out death, so that by means of the commandment, sin might become exceedingly sinful. All right, let's look at an example of that back here in Matthew 15. Not Matthew 15, but Matthew 5. Okay? Jesus, in bringing out in the first part of Matthew, he was telling us some aspects of the new covenant, and we didn't really realize it and understand it. All right? Matthew 5. Let's pick it up here. All right? Let's be here. Begin here in verse 21. You have heard that it was said to those in ancient times, you shall not commit murder, but whosoever commits murder shall be subject to judgment. Now then, what if you murdered in your mind? How would anyone know that? Wouldn't know that, see? But murder then means you had to go out and deliberately perform the physical act. Now, in the Old Testament, it makes a difference between murder and manslaughter and accidental death. So you find that in Exodus 21, okay? This is what he's talking about here. But notice what he says. He changes it. What is the letter of the law? You shall not commit murder. What is the spirit of the law? Verse 22. But I say to you, everyone who is angry with his brother without a cause shall be subject to judgment. And now this then is judgment of God. But now you've heard it said to those, whoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be subject to the judgment of the council. But I say to you, whoever shall say, fool, shall be subject to the Gehenna of fire. Okay? That's what it means. That's what Romans 7 means. It is the spirit of the law versus the sin within that you are fighting against. And what is revealing the sin to you within is the Spirit of God, so that you may repent. All right? All right, that's why he says, see, where were we back here? Okay. Yes, verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, having been sold as a slave under sin. So if you're under sin, you're under law. If you're, and you are a slave to sin, right? Okay. To be under law means that you don't have the Spirit of God and you constantly commit sin and God is judging you. Now, when God calls you to conversion, as chapter 7 is showing here, God is revealing to you, as Jesus said in the beginning of his ministry, the sin is within. And this is why we need the Spirit of God to overcome. See? The law is spiritual, not just written on tables of stone. But I'm carnal or fleshly, having been sold as a slave under sin. What did we read back in chapter 6? Okay. Verse 14. For sin shall not rule over you if you're enslaved and under sin. It's ruling over you. This is before his conversion. Verse 14. This is after conversion. For sin shall not rule over you because you are not under law but under grace, meaning you are under the spiritual application of the laws of God, having direct access to God the Father and Jesus Christ, and having your sins forgiven through grace and living in grace and understanding how to overcome and using the Spirit of God to overcome the sin within. And that is only possible through the power of the Spirit of God. Okay? Now, once you receive the Spirit of God, then there is this inner battle between the inner sin versus the spiritual obedience. In other words, the battle between the Spirit of God within you and the law of sin and death, which you have to overcome by using the Spirit of God. And this is the battle that goes on. And this is not a battle that someone in the world goes through. No. They may have a guilty conscience if they've done something wrong, but Proverbs tells us every way of a man is right in his own eyes. And there is a way that seems right to a man, but the ends thereof are. So then here's the description of the battle. And we all go through this, don't we? Yes. Because what I am working out myself, I do not know. Human beings do not know where they're going. Jesus said, let the blind lead the blind and let the dead bury the dead. Okay? For what I do not desire to do, now that you have the Spirit of God within you, you don't desire to do it. Right? But you do. This I do. Moreover, what I hate, this is what I do. Because you're battling and fighting against the law of sin and death within you. See? That's why we have 1 John, the first chapter. That when we sin, we can confess our sins to him, and he is righteous and faithful to forgive us our sins. That's where God wants the sin to stop, is within. And that we grow in grace and knowledge in the Spirit of God to overcome so that our minds are converted. And please remember this. We will never completely overcome until the resurrection or until you die in the faith. All right? Verse 16. But if I am doing what I do not desire to do, I agree with the law that it's good. The law is good. Nothing wrong with the law. You don't get rid of the law because there's sin. You get rid of the sin because there's law. So then I, ego, my own self, am no longer working it out myself. Rather, it is the sin that is dwelling within me. And God has given us the power of his Spirit to overcome that sin and to repent of that sin. Okay? Verse 18. Because I fully understand, after conversion, after understanding the spiritual meaning of the law and the love of God and the truth of God and the righteousness of God and the grace of God, okay? Because I fully understand that there is not dwelling within me, that is in within my fleshly being, any good. Why? Because every cell of your being is stamped with the law of sin and death. And there's a death gene, a death section on every gene, and those are called telomeres. And when the telomeres are exhausted from the gene, death takes place. There is not dwelling in any of us any good thing except the Spirit of God, which He's given us. Okay? Now, here's the way that we are struggling against the law of sin and death within. For the desire to do good is present within me. Is that I want to do? You ever gotten up in the morning, prayed, everything's, you're off to work and doing whatever you're doing, and you then something happens, and bam, you get angry and lose your temper and do something you shouldn't do. Did you desire to do it? No. Did you do it? Yes. Why? Because of the law of sin and death within you. Now then, you repent, God wipes that away, and this is how we are perfected. This is how our minds are converted, step by step by step. Okay? For the good I desire to do, I am not doing, but the evil that I do not desire to do, this I am doing. But if I do what I do not desire to do, it is no longer, I am no longer working it out myself, but sin that is dwelling within me. Yes, in every cell of your body. The law of sin and death. Now then, we have to have our minds cleansed. So here's what he says. Consequently, I find this law, a law of sin and death working against the Spirit of God in my members, that when I desire to do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. Yes, you love God, you love His commandments, you love all of these things. But sin dwelling within you causes you to sin. Now, maybe it's just in your mind and thinking of it. That's why you have to repent. Because it is a spiritual perfection. It is a spiritual standard. It is a spiritual warfare that is going on. But I see another law within my own members warring against the law of my mind. So we've got the law of God, law in general, law of sin, law of death, sold under sin. We have the law of our mind, okay? Leading me captive to the law of sin that it is within my own members. Now, stop and think. Paul was an apostle for more than 20 years when he wrote this, okay? Right about 20 years. And look at what he said he was dealing with internally. Now, all of us deal with this internally, and that's how we grow and change and overcome. Verse 24. Oh, what a wretched man I am! Who shall save me from the body of this death? And Peter says, the righteous scarcely be saved. Okay? See? That's what it's all about. God is wanting us to develop the spiritual standard of thinking, of living, of acting, so that our actions are carried out according to His Spirit, which leads us into truth and to sound-mindedness and into control. See? And Paul had this that he had to fight against. We have to fight against it. We'll see something here in just a minute. Okay. Verse 25, I thank God for His salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of this, on the one hand, I myself serve the law of God with my mind spiritually. However, he gives what happens when he sins. Okay? But on the other hand, with the flesh, I serve the law of sin. And then, of course, that's why we have repentance every day. See, now you go back and read Matthew 5, 6, and 7 with this in mind, and this will give you a greater understanding of it, you see. Now, let's come to chapter 8, because we can't be left hanging in the air with this. How does God look at it? If we repent, he's what? Faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Okay? Keep that in mind, because that's what this is talking about here, see? Consequently, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, because we're walking in the Spirit, keeping the commandments of God, loving God, changing, growing, overcoming, seeing and recognizing sin and repenting of it. And that's called walking in the Spirit. Who are not walking according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, Holy Spirit of God the Father, and Jesus Christ within us, gives us the strength and the power, has delivered me from the law of sin and death. That's why it has to be living faith, living love, praying daily, studying daily, growing, overcoming, changing, recognizing the sins from within, the source of it, the law of sin and death within us. Okay? Because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has delivered me, given us the tools to be delivered from the law of sin and death. For what was impossible for the law to do, the law in the letter couldn't do anything, couldn't change anything, doesn't make anything right. It just tells you what is right and what is wrong. Now, when we come to the consciousness of the spiritual application of the law, now then we begin to understand it in the right way that Paul wants, see? Okay? The law can make you do nothing. But even if you knew the law, you still sinned because it was weak through the flesh. God, having sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and that means in the likeness of sin of flesh. So Jesus had to have within him the law of sin and death to overcome and never sin once to become our Savior. Now that's the help that we can get. That's why Jesus was tempted in every way like we are tempted. Yet, he was without sin. Therefore, Paul writes in Hebrews, the 4th chapter, let's come before the throne of grace in time of need. Okay? Because he empathizes with us, being tempted in every way like we are, so that we can come to him and repent and have our sins forgiven through the grace of God. Now, there can be nothing greater than that in this life. Let's go on here. He condemned sin in the flesh. That is a fantastic thing to understand. Now, we've got that written in the Passover book. We also have it written in the book, The Day Jesus the Christ Died. Now, why did he do all of this? Why did he not just take away the law of sin from us immediately as soon as we were baptized? Because the law of sin and death is one operation within us, and we received that from Adam, and as long as we are in the flesh, that will be there, and we have to grow and overcome and fight that from within, and that is a lifelong battle. All right? But here is what it's going to accomplish, verse 4. In order that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who are not walking according to the flesh under law, but according to the Spirit under grace. For those who walk according to the flesh mind the things of the flesh, because they don't have the Spirit of God. But those who walk according to the Spirit mind the things of the Spirit, because they have the Spirit of God. That's what he's telling us here. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You have peace with God. God loves you. God has called you. God cares for you. Okay? And he's offering you eternal life. And Jesus is what? The way, the truth, and the life. See, it all fits together in one fantastic, how shall we say, spherical package. Verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, an enemy of God. Like Paul was saying, he didn't understand the commandment, even though he was a Pharisee blameless, because he had no spiritual understanding, see? For to be carnal minded is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. But those who are in the flesh can not please God. Well, that's quite a statement, isn't it? All right, stop and think about that. All the things we talked about Judaism and Messianic Jews and all the physical things that they do, that's the mind of the flesh. And you cannot please God by the fleshly things you do outside. God wants you to, in studying his word, have his word and his laws written in your heart and mind through his Spirit, doing it as you love God and keep his commandments, study his word and pray to him every day. You see, this is a living way. This is a way of life. See? It's not a quick fix to have your sins, boom, forgiven, I accept you, Jesus, and bam, your soul is ready to go to heaven, and nothing you can do can stop that. That is Satan's lie. Okay? Now notice verse 9. Now then, he tells us the truth of all of this. This is from chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and now chapter 8. And this section of chapter 8 ends half of the book of Romans. Now verse 9. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if the Spirit of God is indeed dwelling within you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. But if Christ be within you, the body is indeed dead because of sin. However, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And don't you think it is a righteous thing to overcome the law of sin and death within you through the Spirit of God and bring righteousness and bring love and peace and truth and goodness and holiness and all of that? Yes. See? Let's go on. Verse 11. Now, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is dwelling within you, see, so we have the Spirit of Christ and the Spirit from the Father, and this agrees with John 14, verse 22. He who raised Christ from the dead will also quicken, that is, make alive your mortal bodies because of his Spirit that dwells within you. See, now, within ourselves, without the Spirit of God, there is no good whatsoever because of the law of sin and death. But with the Spirit of God and with overcoming and growing, there is no condemnation. See? All right. So then, brethren, we are not debtors to the flesh to live according to the flesh. We don't go out there and live the way the world does. No. Because if you are living according to the flesh, you shall die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death, see, the active tool of the Spirit of God, you are putting to death the deeds of the body, that is, the deeds of the law of sin and death within you, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. We are the children of God. And God is there, and Christ is there to help us, to strengthen us, to be with us, to forgive us, to lead us, to bring to our consciousness the things that we do that are not right, that we need to repent of. Okay? Now you have not received a spirit of bondage again unto fear, but you have received the spirit of sonship, whereby we cry out, Abba, Father. For the Spirit itself bears witness conjointly with our spirit, testifying that we are the children of God. And that's what God is doing within us, okay? Creating his own sons and his own daughters. All right. Verse 17. Now if we are children, we are also heirs, truly heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer together with him, that we also may be glorified together with him. For I reckon that the sufferings of the present time and all the struggle to overcome sin and death are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Now let's conclude by coming to Ephesians, the first chapter. And I want you to think about these words. These are very inspiring, very meaningful, talking about what God is doing with us, to us, and for us. And remember, if God be for you, nothing can be against you. Start in verse 1, Ephesians 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, a prophecy that this epistle is for all of us. Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Not amazing? Peace with God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly things with Christ. Not yet there, but we will be. That's a promise. And if God states it so, it is true. According as he has personally chosen us for himself. Think of how much love God has that he has personally chosen each and every one of us, and down through time. Wonder what it's going to be like at the resurrection when all the saints are resurrected. What a glorious time that is going to be. And all the things that everyone had to fight and overcome and go against and fight against Satan, the devil, and this world and all of the powers of this world. See, there's nothing in this world to be compared to what God is going to give us. Chosen us for himself before the foundation of the world. Now, that's when he had his plan, before the foundation of the world. In order that we might be holy and blameless before him in love, having predestinated us for sonship to himself through Christ Jesus, according to the good pleasure of his own will. Now that is fantastic. See, brethren, that's why it's important that we know these things. And that is why it is important that we use the Spirit of God and grow and change and overcome. See, he has called us to be his sons and his daughters. Sonship of God. Okay? According to the good pleasure of his own will. The will of God to do this for you, to you, with you. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he's made it object of his grace in the beloved Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the remission of sins according to the riches of his grace. Continuous access so we can repent and overcome and repent and overcome and change and grow and develop the way he wants us to, which he has made to abound toward us in all wisdom and intelligence, and having made known to us the mystery of his own will, we understand the plan of God, The world doesn't know it. The world is flooded over with the mystery of lawlessness because they don't love the truth. But God has given us the understanding of the mystery of His own will, according to His good pleasure, which He proposed in Himself, that in the divine plan for the fulfilling of the times, He might bring all things together in Christ, both the things in the heavens and the things upon the earth. Yes, in Him, in whom we also have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, who is working out all things according to the counsel of His own will, that we might be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. Now that is a fantastic promise. That's why we need to love God, believe God, trust in God and His word and everything that there is. Verse 13, in whom you also trusted after hearing the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after believing, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And that's how we understand the spiritual application of the way of God, in His laws, in His truth, in our conduct, in our behavior, in our minds, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. Now you know what it means to be under grace versus under law. And I hope this helps you to realize how great and marvelous that the Word of God really is. And so we'll conclude here at this point. And I hope this really helps you and inspires you, as it does me, to understand the truth of God, the love of God, and how all these things come together. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.